Hello, I'm Alan O'Donoghue. I'm a teacher of ICT and computing at Our Ladies High School in Preston, which is in Lancashire, up in the northwest of England. And I record a podcast each week detailing what I've been doing in my class with my Year 10 GCSE computing. Each week, I explain what I've been teaching in the lessons and what the children have been learning about. And before I talk about what's happened this week, mission week in our school, I just want to do a little bit of a trailer for something that's happening in March 2013. So I'm at the moment organising an event that's going to take place in Manchester. It's on Saturday the 9th of March, and it's called Raspberry Jamboree. You may have heard of Raspberry Jam. That was a global user group that I started for anybody with an interest in the Raspberry Pi computer. And in the short few months since we started it, we've now got jams happening all over the world. We've got about 30 Raspberry jams happening in the UK. It's from Manchester, Sheffield, Cambridge, London, Preston, all over the place, Wales. And but we've also had it happening around the world, like Melbourne and Sydney and Silicon Valley and Singapore. And in fact, in just about, I think, 3 months, in the UK alone, we had 1,200 people come into our events. Why would you go to a Raspberry Jam? Well, I suppose you go there if you want to know what you can do with a Raspberry Pi, or maybe you already know what you can do with a Raspberry Pi. You come along and we have people who do talks and workshops, and some of them are hands-on and some of them are people talking about what you can do. The event that we're planning for Saturday the 9th of March is different. It's got a focus on education. And the reason why is because there are some people at the moment, and they say that, oh, this Raspberry Pi thing is just the same old Linux geeks. People who've always been using Linux are now just using Raspberry Pi. Some teachers have said to me that they don't really get the point of the Raspberry Pi. You know, if this is to try and get children to code, they see that the Raspberry Pi is not the solution to that particular problem. So what I'm hoping is that with our Raspberry Jamboree, which is with a focus on education, that we've got some people coming along. Some of them are teachers, some of them aren't teachers, some of them are sort of just Raspberry Pi evangelists. And they're going to hopefully show and demonstrate with talks, demonstrations, workshops, how you can actually use the Raspberry Pi to encourage children to engage with computing and learn how to program. It's going to be an all-day event happening in Manchester. It coincides with the Education Innovation Education Festival, which is happening in Manchester on the 8th of March and the 9th of March, but the Raspberry Jamboree is just happening on the Saturday. If you want to know more about it, you can go to raspberryjamboree.eventbrite.com. You could probably just do a Google search for Raspberry Jamboree and you'll be able to find how to get to it. So let's see who we've got. We've got Professor Stephen Ferber coming along. So he works at the University of Manchester. You might have heard of his name before because he was the designer of the BBC Micro. We've got some authors coming along. We've got people like Simon Monk. He's just recently published a book called Programming the Raspberry Pi, the kind of book that I'd recommend every GCSE computing teacher gets a hold of, because it does things like introduce Python programming with the Raspberry Pi. We've got Pete Lomas. Pete Lomas is one of the co-founders of the Raspberry Pi. He's the guy who was tasked with trying to shrink all the electronics onto something that was credit card sized. We've got Carrie Ann Philbin coming along. You may have heard of Carrie Ann. She produces Girl Geek Diaries. I've said that wrong. It's Geek Girl Diaries. And who else? We've got people like Mike Cook, Andrew Robinson, and we've got this chap called Alan O'Donoghue, who's coming along as well to show some of the things that they've been doing in their school with their Raspberry Pi. So that's Saturday the 9th of March in Manchester. You might say, why Manchester? Well, why not? Lots of people say that, you know, a lot of pioneering milestones in computing happened in Manchester. So, and it's great to have a conference that's not in London, because maybe different people would come along. If you go and have a look on the website, you can actually scroll down on the event page and you can see there's loads and loads of
ICT teachers, heads of ICT. We've got ICT trainers coming along. So have a look at who's going, and hopefully you'll feel encouraged.
Now, back onto what's been happening this week. So the school I work at, Our Ladies, it's a Catholic high school, and faith is quite pivotal to the activity of the school. This week, we've been celebrating the 25th anniversary of the school with our mission week, and it had a theme which was travelling together in faith. Now, part of that meant that all of the normal timetable has been suspended while we've had whole school events, whole year group events, whole key stage events, and all of the lessons, whether they're history, maths, physics, PE, ICT, or computing, have had a strong focus or emphasis on the theme of the mission. So normal business has been postponed. So I, with my year 10 class, I was tasked with trying to think about how would a computing class relate to the theme of traveling together in faith. So I quickly looked through the specification and the kind of things that we were going to be teaching, and I looked forward to something I got planned for next year, which was this. The exam board stipulates that children have to understand the importance of HTML and derivations of HTML in terms of how web pages are created and how web pages were created using HTML. Although I don't think it says that they... No, it doesn't. It doesn't say that they have to know how to use HTML, but I thought, well, let's have an introduction to HTML on our mission theme. So I started the lesson by showing them like a diagram, like a map. And I drew a stick figure at the beginning of the map. This is just a blank screen with my whiteboard. So I drew a stick figure. And at the other end of the map, I said, this is the destination. And the destination, when you arrive at it, will be a web page with a collection of images. So let's say three images and some text that pivot around our theme, which is traveling together in faith. So I asked the class, who in the class before has created a web page? And two of them had, but then I asked who'd used HTML, and again, it was the same two pupils. Some of the class had heard of HTML, but they hadn't used it before. So I said, look, this is the journey. So you're down here in this bottom left-hand corner of this map, and I want you within two lessons to be able to get to this corner of the map, which is you arrive at the destination with a web page that's online, it's got images, it's got formatted text. What are the kind of things that we're going to need to be able to do in order to get from our start to our destination? So I then drew some hurdles or barriers, and I said, so there's going to be a few barriers on the way, things that are going to stop us from getting there. Couple of seconds with a partner, just try and establish what are these barriers going to be? What are these things that are going to stop you from achieving that? So after they discussed it with their partners, the things that they then came back and said to me were things like, well, how do you actually create a web page? How do you get images onto a web page? And how do you get a web page live on the internet so people can access it? So I marked those out on the map and said, right, so here we are. We've got three obstacles, three barriers that we have to get over. Creating a simple web page, so we'll say one with text, then how do we add images to that web page, and then how do we upload it? So I then said, right, well, I'm going to give you a sample of some HTML, and I'm at the moment, the only sort of simple editor we had that we could use in the classroom was Notepad. So here is some HTML that I've created, which will simply just create a web page with some text in it. And it's got things like the HTML tags that says HTML, body, it's got a H1 heading, it's got some paragraphs, and then it closes with body and HTML. So everybody now just follow me, just do exactly what you see on the board, type it in. So just at the point where one or two pupils had finished, I said, right, okay, everybody stop. And some were protesting, but I haven't finished. No, it doesn't matter if you haven't finished, because I just want to show you the next step. So I said, the next step is we're now going to save it, but if we just click save, it's going to save it as a text file. We don't want that to happen. We want to force Notepad to save as a HTML file. So when we save it, in the file name box, we need to type in .html. And so I showed how to save it. I said, now, we need to test this to see if it works. So I showed, rather than trying to view it in Notepad, because Notepad's not really designed for viewing web pages, we need to view it in a browser. And one of the ways we can do this is we can navigate through to the file where it's stored in My Documents. And, oh, look at that. The icon for this Notepad text file we've created, because it's HTML, it's now picked up our default web browser. So it might be Internet Explorer or Chrome or Firefox. So when you double click on it, and I double clicked on it, and then we could see there was the web page I'd created, and it was just three lines of text. Well, it didn't look like riveting or amazing, but it just proved it worked. So I said to them, to the class, so what I want you to do next is you're going to save it, you're going to test it. But once you've tested it and you know it works, I want you then to add some other text. So it could be text describing the kind of things you've been doing this week as part of Mission Week, or it could be some quotes that you found online that people have said that ties into the theme, which is traveling together in faith. So, right, off you go. So about 10 to 15 minutes later, by this stage, everybody in the class, I've been able to check, has created a web page that has text in it. I then said, we need to go back and review the map. So we've got over the first barrier, and the second one now is how do we add images to a web page? So I said, well, one thing that we're going to do this time, just to make it a little bit easier, we're going to use some images that are already available on the internet. But if we're going to use those images, we need to know the specific address where they're stored. And we called it a URL. And then I thought, well, hang on, URL, do we know what URL is? So we spent a little bit of time discussing, checking, understanding, describing what does URL stand for, and then what does it actually mean? And we talked about how where each person lived in Preston, they had their own unique postal address. Well, just as that, all the elements that are on the web have their own unique address that we refer to as a URL. So I did a demonstration of searching for an image using Google Images, but then I showed how you grabbed the URL for that image, and I explained that the kind of things we'd expect to see normally would be a JPEG extension or a GIF or a PNG or something like that, but generally they were used JPEGs because of the compression. It meant that they loaded quickly, this sort of thing. So I then, once I'd grabbed the URL, I then showed how I would add a tag for an image into the web page. So I did the angle bracket, so left angle bracket, IMG for image, SRC for source equals open quote, and at this point I pasted in that URL for a JPEG that I'd found, close quote, and right angle bracket. And then I showed then how I could save my page and then go back to my browser where I had the page already open and refresh it, and there was the image. So I then said, right, now it'll take you seconds to get one image, but what I want you to do now is I want you to put a series of images in there together to demonstrate that you can paste images into a page. So there's a couple of small issues that people made, like they forgot to put the angle bracket at the end. Some mistakenly typed in SCR for S instead of saying SRC. So I could find there's a few common errors that people were typing in. And let me just remember, that was Tuesday. Oh, right, we have a shorter lesson on a Tuesday. That kind of pretty much took us to the end of that lesson. So the following day was Wednesday, and I decided rather than just pick up from where we were last lesson, I had another example of some HTML code, but what I'd done this time was I deliberately put in some errors. So for example, in HTML, you mark it out as saying HTML with a tag. I put in some forward slashes in the wrong place. I misspelled one of the tags. I left out some angle brackets. I put some in uppercase. We had tags that didn't match. So we had a heading that started with H1 but ended with H3. So altogether, I put 6 different errors in there. And what I did was I got them to take their books out, copy the HTML off the board into your book, and then circle or highlight the aspects that you think have got errors in them. And at the same time, for each line, I want you to write in English a description of what do you think the purpose of that line is? What do you think it does? So after a few minutes of allowing them to do that, we then went through, and because I really wanted to get on with doing some more HTML, I could have spent a lot more time going through all the whys and wherefores, but I didn't really feel the key thing was about the structure of HTML. I wanted them basically just to be able to use it practically. So we identified where the errors were, the purpose of the lines, and then I said, right, now what I want you to do, type it in correctly into your editor, and then we can use this as the foundation to start a page again. So it was just getting into the habit of using the tags. So that was quite quick because we'd done something previous to the last lesson. So then I decided to show them, I wanted to show them a couple of style things that I could add. So I showed them how you could add a background color to the page. And I said, when they were in year 9, we looked at how we could use RGB color codes in hex to change colors. But I said that there's also, in HTML, there are 16 colors already defined with names like silver and gray and blue and navy and things like that. In fact, need to check it up. I'm not sure if blue is one, but there are 16 predefined colours that you can use. What else? I showed them. I showed them how you could, because they've all got images from different places, I showed them how you could display the images consistently so that they would all have the same width or the same height. And I also showed them how they could emphasize text by making it bold or italic. I showed how to put line breaks in so they could have their images on separate lines. And then I also said to them, so this was about halfway through the lesson, or maybe it was two-thirds, I showed them the w3schools.com site, and I said, look, there's just loads of different formatting you can use in there for HTML. Try and use some of that. And then, about 15 minutes before the lesson, so I went back to our map that we had with the barriers, and the third barrier or problem or hurdle that we had was, how do you upload this web page to the internet? So I explained there's two that I'm aware of, and there's probably loads more, but there's two ways we can do this. There's one called pastehtml.com, but the other one I'm a big fan of is Mozilla Thimble. So I showed how you could search for Thimble to find it, because it's not thimble.com, that's something else. It's probably like a website that sells sewing utensils or something. And I showed them how to find Mozilla Thimble, and then you can just paste. You can paste your HTML code into one window. It then shows what it looks like, but you've also got a publish button. And what that does is, within seconds, it publishes your page. It gives it a unique URL for that page, which you can then share. I said, if you've got a Twitter account, sign into Twitter, tweet everybody, at which point somebody's saying, I've got 200 followers. I don't really want them seeing, you know, there I am tweeting stuff all about faith and mission and Bible bashing and all that kind of stuff. And I said, well, why not? Show them what you can create. And but I also asked them to email me their URL. And as they were sending them in to me, I was able to look at their web page and say, resize your images so they've all got the same height. Or, why don't you add a bit more emphasis to this particular line? So I was able to give them some feedback and get them to change that. So that was pretty much it for two lessons, HTML. And next week, where we're back to our normal lessons, I think I just want to recap a little bit about what is the point of HTML. But I think it's also important to check the understanding around this thing that HTML, it's not really a programming language. You're not going to be able to solve algorithms and problems using HTML. It's really just simply saying, put this image in this place, make this text look like this, and put it in so-and-so place. And I'll mention a little bit about how JavaScript could be used if you want to add in programming features. And I have to confess, I've not actually got a lot of experience of using JavaScript, so that's for the future. Right, I hope you are still finding these podcasts useful, and I'd encourage you, if you do, to let me know. If you're not finding them useful, I really want to know why, because I don't think they're perfect. I don't think I'm an expert in doing this type of thing, but maybe with your help I can become an expert. If you're not already a member of the Computing at School community, I really recommend that you do. There's all sorts of
events on there. A lot of them are for free. There's things happening all over the country. Things like Raspberry Jams, but hub meetings. There's people sharing resources. Oh, and there's one I'd really recommend you go and look for. It's How to Teach Python to Year 7, created by, Alan O'Donoghue. And I've got on there in that resource, I've got 5 lessons, how I believe you can teach Python to a class of Year 7. But if you haven't got a class of Year 7 and you've got Year 9 or Year 10, well, you can try that as well. And if you're really brave and want to try it with Year 4 or Year 5, well, why not? Give it a go. Thank you very much for listening, and speak to you soon. Bye.